Tonight's concert is brought to you by the letter O for ornamentation. Music as the ornamentation of life, and within, and in a very profound sense, not just a decoration, but tonight we'll be looking at ornamentation in various aspects of what it can do. Because basically, music is a very simple thing that's made complex and deepened through the use of ornament. We're going to be seeing that ornamented melody retrospectively as it was used by three late Baroque composers, one for the court, one for the city, and one for the home. And then we're going to move to the church a little bit, this is a work in progress, we're going to do some experimentation, get you involved, and you know we might even end up in the pub, who knows. We're going to start the program in the court of Louis XIV, and you'll get a taste of what French ornamentation was like. French ornamentation is a very peculiar thing that we don't often hear these days. We're more used to the Italianate and the German, and the French is a language of its own. In fact, it's very much related to language, and the French would think it's very much related to the French language. In the French court, music was all about dancing and opera. And this little suite of pieces called, it's published in a group of pieces called Royal Concerts, and a concert in this sense means something that's put together into a harmonious whole. That's what a concert is. It's concerted contrasted. And this little suite of pieces from Concert Royal by François Couperin, a musician ordinaire to the King Louis XIV, is like a little opera in miniature. And operas always start out with an overture, then singing, and then lots of dancing got stuck into French Baroque opera. So what we're going to have is a conversation that begins this piece. The conversation is called the prelude, and it's very much like rhetoric. I'm convincing you that you ought to stay and listen to the dances or see the dances. Then we're going to go, and so it's very free in style. And there are a lot of little ornaments, and the little ornaments you can almost think of as consonants in the language, articulations, the way you're turning music into speech. Then we're going to go through a series of little dances, an allemande, which is a German walking dance. The French love to emulate the Germans, and the Germans love to emulate the French, and the French love to emulate the Italians. Slip of the tongue, which is very true. And then we're going to have a sarabande, which they say was imported from the New World, from perhaps Brazil, to what is now Portugal, and brought in as an exotic dance from the New World. And it was considered by some to be very sensuous. It's a slow dance. If you want to get up and do a slow dance, that's perfectly all right. Then we'll do a little gavotte, which is like a horse's trot in two. Then we'll end up with a jig, which is the prototype for the Irish jig. So, starting with the prelude.
Thank you.
Telemann was not a court composer. He was a composer for the whole darn city. He spent most of his career as the musician-in-chief for the city of Hamburg. And in that position, he was in charge of the music for three churches, for various civic events, for funerals, for weddings, for teaching, for university. I don't know how he fit it all into a lifetime. He is the most prolific composer of the 18th century and perhaps of all time, even though he's not as well known as Bach and Handel. He was a very methodical person, too. That's probably how he got so much done. And he wrote 12 sonatas called, people wrote things in batches of 12 or 6 because it was easier to publish and make money that way. So he wrote 12 methodical sonatas to teach young musicians and old musicians like me. And these methodical sonatas had a particular device in every first movement, which was a slow movement in every case. We'll only do one of these sonatas out of 12. In the first movement, he would give the melody straight, and then he would give it again on a second line as his ornamentation, his suggestions for ornamentations. In this case, they're very Italianate, with all the very elegant scrolls and classical design, the Baroque design. And then the third line was the bass line, and the bass line had little numbers on it which told the bass player what chords to play over the bass line, and that's what Jonathan has. Actually, he has all three, but he'll be playing the bass line. And we'll play, the first movement is, these are all dances. The first is a Siciliano, a shepherd's dance, and we'll play it straight first. It's a little lilting dance that you do while you're lulling your sheep to sleep. And then we'll do it as Telemann ornamented it. It's not too long. It sounds very much like a Bach piece that he used in a lot of cantatas, actually, this kind of rhythm. Next one is simply entitled Allegro, but it's another gavotte. Very different than a French gavotte.
Thank you.
told you it was different. Yeah. And then he continues with a dolce, which means like dessert, sweet. Ma non adagio, not too slow. End up the sonata. He likes to do a little bit of everything in these sonatas. Not one movement is like another. We'll end up with three little movements that are glued together. A grave, which simply means heavy, gravy. And that's what gravy you put on the potatoes means. It means heavy. And in that, it's very free. And Jonathan and I play with it a lot. And that sets up a vivace, which means lively, full of full of life. And it's a little jig. And then we end up with a presto, which is like magic, very fast, sleight of hand.
Are we doing the repeats of the
vivace? Let's do the repeats only in the presto.
Got it. Okay.
Not in the vivace.
Okay.
Thank you. And now to the home. And it's to the home in a very strange way. Vivaldi worked in a great part of his career in an orphanage for girls, an hospital for young girls. And his orchestra was made up of young girls whom he taught and who must have been extremely talented because he wrote dozens and dozens and perhaps hundreds of concertos for these young women, and they had public concerts. And, of course, the four best-known of these concerts of concertos that he wrote for these young women, many of whom were teenage soloists that played the solo parts, were the Four Seasons, the Quattro Stagioni, the Four Seasons. So let's do Spring. But how do we do a concerto with one instrument? Well, along comes a Swiss philosopher by the name of Rousseau, about Mozart's time, and he believes very much in the music for the common person. So he takes these concerti and packs them into a container that can be taken into the home. In this case, the container is a concerto for one flute and no strings. So we'll do Spring from the Seasons for flute, transcribed in Mozart's time from Spring, from the Seasons. It starts out, a concerto always starts out with the orchestra playing the tutti part. Tutti means all together, like tutti frutti, all the fruits. And so the tutti part, I need all the kids and whatever the adults are brave enough to help me on this. The tutti part sounds sort of like this. That theme or stuff similar to that. When you hear that, be a violin or a cello and be the tutti part, if you would. Okay? Everyone, especially the kids. So, please. And there's a poem or description that goes through all of these concertos that tells you what's coming up. Then the birds come out of this, because it's spring. And the theme is very vibrant and very spring-like, cheerful. Finally, the sun is back in Italy, in northern Italy. And then the song of the birds. And when you hear the birds, you can do puppet sounds for the birds, the tweeting of birds, okay? And then when the tutti comes back, okay, get back to work as an orchestra, okay, good. And then comes the part, it chills out and you hear the murmur of the wind through the trees and the trickling of the brook in the background. And so when you hear that sound, make wind sounds. That will help a lot. And then all of a sudden, before the tutti comes back, it turns into a storm. So you can make bigger wind sounds or you can go, make thunder sounds. That's just fine. It'll get into the recording and it'll help a lot. And then after the storm, the birds come out and play again. After a little brief interlude of the concerto, the birds come out again, and then it finally ends up with the tutti orchestra playing again. So you got to be busy during this whole thing. Okay, strings, are you ready? Tuned up? Okay. Two, three. Thank you. I'm so glad you helped me through that storm. Okay, the next part of this program is very much a work in progress, and it's how ornament can be used in hymn playing. Of course, you're all used to an organist playing a voluptuous chorale prelude to introduce a hymn or to introduce a service based on a hymn, but that can be done with lots of different instruments, and tonight we're going to work with a hymn we don't often get to sing, and we're going to tie it to the Baroque, and we're going to ornament it and then sing it all together. It's hymn number, if I can find it, 568. Now, what's the new translation of it? The roadmap is that I'm first going to go back to Telemann, and I'm going to play a prelude by Telemann. It's actually a fantasy by Telemann. And it'll be like a little opera in miniature. We talked about operas in miniature. This is really miniature, with a little overture that's a lot of dotted stuff, and then a little fast fugue, and then the overture. And that's going to segue right into Now All the Woods Are Sleeping, that I'll play alone. And then I'll do an ornamented version of it. And then we'll go into it again. And at that point, Jonathan is going to be your help. And so you're going to sing with the piano as the vocal parts, verse stanza one, and I'll keep playing the flute along with you. Then I'll play a tiny little interlude, very little, and then we'll come back in and do verse three. So we're just going to do stanza one and stanza three. Jonathan will bring you in, and then we'll close. Here's the Telemann. Thank you. close out our evening, hymn number 592. This one is even more of a work in progress. We need some help with this one. Do we have some other musicians that could join in? Oh, I see a couple. Good, good. In fact, I need a hymnal. 592. When you maybe know. I think we'll start out by simply having an instrumental introduction. I have to go to a different joint. Does anyone see my flute piece back there? There it is. So, my ensemble. On the drums, we have Ron. On the guitar, we have John. On the piano, we have Jonathan. And on flute, Paul. We'll give you an introduction.
Thank you.
And we'll sing the first verse, then we'll stop for further directions. We're in
D.
D. Good start. I think we're going to work on this to get the right tone. And I've been thinking that that tempo is a bit too fast because it's just as I am. There's a sense of stasis in this hymn, which means you should stay in the same place for a while. So I think that translates into a very slow tempo. So let's sing it in harmony. I'll join Jonathan on the piano now. And we'll give you one phrase to set the tempo, and then just wallow in the harmonies and wallow in the sonority and in the words.
Verse one again?
Verse one again. Just so we can see how it feels. Okay. What do you word to you? Okay, go ahead and start.
About
one. Sense of humor the other day, but actually it turned out kind of beautiful. Thank you. All right, let's try different things. The next verse, I mean, one of the things you try to do with hymn accompaniment and singing is to color the words so that you're not merely singing words with the same old melody, but you're using the melody to deepen. It's like ornamentation. You're using it to make the words come alive and speak more. And this second verse is just as I am, though tossed about, conflict, doubt, fears, within, without. It's a dark verse, and so it really shouldn't be in a major key. It should really be in a minor key. And I think it should be very low. So this should be everyone singing as low as possible, and it'll be like this. You'll get it when we play it, give you the introduction. Okay. That's maybe too dark. So let's take it up a beat. In fact, let's do it a la Dave Brubeck. You don't have to sing this one, just listen. One step further. Let's make it into what we started out with. Let's turn it into a dance. Cha-cha. Gentlemen, a cha-cha. Tempo.
Tempo,
a cha-cha. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. That was the warm-up for the 4th of July.